author of The Collapse of Western Civilization, A View from the Future, and paleontologist Peter Ward, a world expert on mass extinctions. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
It takes all of us to keep KABU strong. KABU is your radio station. Did you know that you can give gifts of stock to KABU? We are able to quickly turn these donations into support for the important daily work of KABU. How do you do this? Call 503-231-8032, extension 201, or email monica@kabu.org for information on how to make a stock gift. Thank you for supporting KABU Community Radio.
Hi, this is Justin Miller, KABU's underwriting coordinator. Every day, local businesses support KABU through program sponsorship or underwriting. These underwriters are people like you, progressive, diverse, and supporting real radio. So when you hear an underwriter's acknowledgement, consider giving them some of your business and telling them that you heard about them on KABU. If your business would like to reach out to the area's 55,000 most diverse and progressive listeners, you can learn how at kabu.fm/underwriting, by email to underwriting@kabu.org, or call Justin 503-231-8032. KABU Underwriting. Your clients are listening.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, June 23rd, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest, Mike Bonanno. You know him from various Yes Men pranks in the past and pranks coming up in the future. Right now we have the film, The Yes Men Are Revolting. It is playing right now at Living Room Theater. I can actually give you the schedule of the film. Before we get rolling, before we get Mike on the line, we've got a couple of headlines to go through. The Earth, this has been in the news in various shapes and forms, places and times, but it's certainly right now with the Senate today narrowly voting to end debate on legislation granting the president enhanced, in other words, we're doomed, basically. We have only one planet, we have nowhere to go, and this piece of legislation basically makes it legal to destroy the planet in the name of corporate greed. I find it extraordinary that more people did not stand up and say no. If you still think you are capable of standing up and saying no to this, call the White House. The number is 202-456-1111. Again, 202-456-1111. Couldn't be simpler, and it could have an effect. This is our last best chance to raise our voices together to say no, we will not sell out our forests, our rivers, our streams, our oceans to corporate greed. We will not sell out the little that labor has left, and we will not sell out social justice around the world. That's all I can tell you. The the Living Room Theater, there are shows going on right now. The Yes Men Are Revolting. We're going to be speaking in a moment with Mike Bonanno. Rolling right along, Amy Goodman says that a new battle in Seattle is brewing, and it's about bloody time that that happened. And next up, science says that failure to act on climate change could cause an estimated 57,000 deaths a year in the United States. There's a lot more of this. But right now, we're going to go straight to our guest, Mike Bonanno, the 50% of the Yes Men, joining us by phone. We're very fortunate to have him. The film The Yes Men Are Revolting is playing right now at the Living Room Theatre. There have been some great reviews. Yes Men Are Revolting, personal poignancy, missing in the forerunners. The Yes Men Are Revolting becomes a rare film to tackle. How exhausting it is. But here, my personal favorite, Mike, is this one. It's a tiresome, preachy, repetitive, disorganized, and dismally unfunny attempt to appeal to Michael Moore fans. This has been said of my program, too. So, on that note, welcome to the KBOO airwaves. Constantly tiresome, preachy, repetitive, and disorganized. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that actually, that particular review, which was in the New York Post.
Kylie Smith.
Mentioned climate denial. I mean, it advocated climate change denialism twice in the article. It basically just, the whole article was built around denying that climate change exists, or the whole review. It was quite unusual in that it was a review that made, its main point was that climate change didn't exist, and that's why our movie was worthless. And, you know, if you're going to take that position, then I think our movie probably is worthless.
Exactly.
You. If you believe that climate change doesn't exist, it may not serve your needs. But, you know, we didn't make this movie for the people who believe that climate change is an elaborate fiction. We made it for people who want to do something about it. And really, for movements to succeed, we only need a small vocal majority. And so, you know, that's what this is all about, trying to, you know, get the word out and mobilize people who we agree with.
Yeah, it's you gotta either laugh or cry out at it. Especially, this is perfect timing to have you on the show today, after the Senate once more disgraced itself publicly in front of the entire world by passing the fast track legislation. What on earth could President Obama be thinking? He's got nothing to lose. He's not running for office. He doesn't have to buy off any Wall Street any longer. He could easily do the right thing. Isn't he, you know, what about his legacy and all that? I find it extraordinary what's happening right now.
Well, it's hard to know what actually goes on in the back rooms when they're cutting various deals, you know? So, I don't know, but all I know is that it's true we're at a point now where the political system isn't working. I mean, even if we have a kind of advantage for somebody who, you know, is progressive and used to be a community organizer, understands and knows what's wrong with the planet right now, doesn't mean that we're going to see any good come of it. So, we need a kind of revolution. That's the answer.
Exactly. You two have basically ignited some of the necessary energy to create that revolution. Tell us a bit about
absolutely.
The film is terrific. I've seen clips, and I want to ask you today, what were some of the outcomes of the stunts, the pranks that you pull. Have you spent much time in jail lately?
Actually, we hardly ever. I mean, it's something that's a misconception about what we do. People assume that it's dangerous or illegal, and in fact, we've found that nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, we've never had a criminal case against us. You will see us being sued in the course of this film. That happens. The largest business lobby in the world sees us because we impersonated them. And it's a very funny scene. We hold a press conference where we announce that they are going to change their position relative to climate change and support climate legislation in Congress. They had been blocking it for decades. And so it was a really funny scene because a guy from the chamber bursts into the room and tries to sort of stop the press conference. And it got a lot of heavy play in news media because it was so funny.
It is. It's perfect. The other thing, too, is the press has said that in reviewing the film, apart from the New York Post, but what did they really think about it, is that the Yes Men Are Revolting is part character study and part celebration of the latest inventions. A lot of the reviews and write-ups say that it's more personal and more, you know, a bit more about you and Andy as people, as characters in your own right, in your own pranks. Was that? Do you feel that was an intentional thing, or are you just doing what you normally do?
It was totally intentional. I mean, first of all, we wanted to make a better movie. You know, a movie where people really identify with the characters. We're no longer just cardboard cutouts. We're actually real humans with real problems, just like everybody. And so we wanted to have something that was a bit more honest and a bit more straightforward about how, you know, how you struggle to keep going as an activist. And, you know, we're in our, well, 40s or 50s now. And so, you know, we're at an age where you look back and reflect a little bit. And we're finding that the film, I mean, has really worked that way. There's, the reviews have been super positive and audiences have been really loving it. I mean, we had a core audience for our previous films, a lot of enthusiasm there, but this is sort of reaching a new level. And, you know, actually, I'm glad to see that people in Portland have been showing up at the Living Room Theater. I don't know if it'll be playing much longer. I think it's just maybe two more nights, unless they hold it another week. So I hope that you get a chance to go see it while it's there. It's fun to watch with a group of people.
This is, yeah, the subject of the character in it, some of the problems that appear on the screen. I mean, I haven't seen it yet. I'm going tonight. Some of the clips, though, you wonder, I do anyway, about the build-up to it, about the preparation. It's got to be, the preparation for these things has got to be somewhat intensive, and outcomes too. What do you do to get ready for some of this stuff? Can you give
us... It all depends. I mean, sometimes we have a long time to plan, and sometimes we have no time to plan. And so, you know, when you have a long time, you fill it up with all kinds of activities.
Yes.
You know, and so preparation, preparation is just a lot of hard work, you know, writing, sometimes editing video, sometimes working with actors. There's a whole bunch of different things at play in every action, and that's part of the reason why we also now have founded a thing called the Action Switchboard, which is a web platform that connects people together so people with diverse skill sets can sign up and volunteer on projects, and that way it distributes the workload a little bit, because, you know, obviously you can do these things on your own and burn out pretty quickly, but if you do it with a bigger group, you can end up with a better project because there's more of a, you know, diversity of people with skills involved, or you can also do it without killing yourself.
Exactly. Well, in the film, when the actions when, you know, the prank is over, do you find that people continuing with some of the stuff that you do? Because people do get involved. People watch it. There's, like, people turn out in the streets. And I just wonder, do you ever see other people continuing or developing pranks of their own and taking it to the streets?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's... we are part of a broad network, maybe a community, maybe a movement of people doing creative direct action all over the world. And, you know, we trade ideas, we rip each other off, it's not a proprietary world. If something worked before, maybe it can work again in another context, you know, and so we're constantly kind of trading ideas and trying to get projects off the ground, and there's new people who arrive every day with a crazy idea, or, you know, a great idea or a really bad idea that needs, and they need some advice. So, we keep kind of trying to make it easier for ourselves and for other people, you know, through the numbers of people that are involved in this kind of activity.
Well, yeah, and you actually have reached a huge number of people, and some of whom would be unlikely candidates for the activist community, and for in fact revolution. And now, of course, when people are talking about the sixth great extinction and we are the walking dead, those aren't exactly laugh moments, but revolution. Can take place, and it's definitely now or never. How do you fit into the? This would be our final. We've just got a few moments left, unfortunately. But how do you fit into the revolution that you envision?
Well, you know, we're a small part of it, but we do these actions to in order to serve a movement that has within it campaigns, that has within it many different kinds of actions and many different kinds of needs. And I think what we're trying to do is just encourage everybody who knows how to do anything to do something for the movement, especially in the run-up to, Paris 2015, and we have to make a difference with climate change. We can address climate change and inequality at the same time if we are really after just energy transition, and that's the holy grail, and I think we can fight for it and we can win. Because movements always do win. They always win.
Thank you so much. That's a good note to wrap it up on. I want to thank you so much for joining us, Mike Bonanno of the Yes Men, 50% of the Yes Men. And don't forget, it's at the Living Room Theater. Let's see, 12 p.m., 3 p.m., 4:40, 7:40. 9:35, and those are the times where you can pop down there and see it. Don't forget, call the White House 202-456-1111. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, June 23rd, 2015. Janet Anderson engineered the show for us today. Thanks for that, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director and sometime councillor.